Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31, which can be found on page 90 in your pew Bible. Please listen for the word of the Lord. If any one of the ordinary people among you sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done and incurs guilt, when the sin that you have committed is made known to you, you shall bring a female goat without blemish as your offering for the sin that you have committed. You shall lay your hand on the head of the sin offering, and the sin offering shall be slaughtered at the place of the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and he shall pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as the fat is removed from the offering of well-being, and the priest shall turn it into smoke on the altar for a pleasing odor to the Lord. Thus, the priest shall make atonement on your behalf, and you shall be forgiven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament text comes out of the Gospel of Mark. We are in the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" The word of the Lord. I know that it may be hard for some of you to believe with this calm, cool exterior that occasionally I absolutely lose it. And sometimes I lose it when I'm not in traffic, because that is normally when I lose it, when all of the drivers around me are driving in ways that aren't fully acceptable to me. But one of the times that I really lost it in the recent past was during the presidential debates. And the reason I lost it is that the moderator would ask a question of the candidates. And it could be as simple as, "Is this piece of paper white?" And rather than answering yes or no, or directly answering the questions, they would totally ignore the questions that were really ones that needed to be answered, and they would either, one, go off and attack their opponent over something totally unrelated, or two, they would decide, well, no, this is a great time for me to talk about X, Y, and Z. And I could only take that for a couple of minutes before I absolutely stood up, walked around the room, and started yelling at the television, as if the people on the other side could hear me. Answer the question! And I have to say, that's sort of the way I feel every time I read this passage out of Mark. It's Jesus, pay attention and do what they want you to do. Let me explain. So, Jesus has been sort of on the teaching circuit. He's come back home to Capernaum. He's in his house. The crowd is huge. They are everywhere, all around him. And these four men bring a paralytic friend. They find they can't get in the door. So they do the next best thing. They climb up the steps to the roof and they begin tearing the roof apart. And all I can think of is that I'm actually the homeowner and wondering if this is covered by my insurance. But once they have a hole torn in the roof, they lower the paralyzed man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus knows, I assume, what they want, because Mark tells us he saw their faith. Now, the faith here is not faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, not faith that Jesus is the Messiah. It is faith that Jesus is a healer and that Jesus has the power to heal their friend. So what does Jesus do? My son, your sins are forgiven. That's not what they wanted. That's not what they were asking for. You can imagine them simply saying, Jesus, pay attention. We wanted you to heal our friend, to make him so he can walk. Why doesn't Jesus listen? Now, we can always assume that what's going on here is that he's using this man as an excuse to have a debate with the scribes. Because he and the scribes don't get along. They don't see the religious landscape in the same way. Now, to be perfectly honest, scribes believed in forgiveness. But for the scribes, there was a process. If you wanted forgiveness, you had to follow the process. And the process was what Maureen read about out of that Levitical passage. The process was very clear. You've committed a sin, even an unintentional sin. So what you do is you take a goat, a sheep, maybe some oil, a little bit of grain. You go to the temple. You hand it to the priest. They do their thing with it, whatever their thing is for that particular offering. And then when the smoke goes up, then they can declare you to be forgiven. So there's forgiveness, but there's a process. Jesus, on the other hand, believes that through God, he's been given the ability and the power to forgive directly. And so a lot of people, when they look at this passage, what they see it is well, Jesus is using this guy as an excuse so that he can have it out with the scribes and people will believe him and not them. Even so, I still want to say, Jesus, pay attention. This man wants to be healed. Can't you just heal him rather than engaging in this debate with the scribes? But it's at that point that I think Jesus would sort of take me aside and say, John, first things first. Let me explain. To understand this, we have to go back to my sermon 2 weeks ago, which I know in sermon years is a very long time. You know, kind of like sermon years are like dog years. It's a long time to think back to 2 weeks ago. But in the sermon 2 weeks ago, What we talked about was that in first century Judaism, there was this clear understanding that if your life was going well, it meant that you were faithful to God. If you were rich and you were healthy and everything was going well, it meant that you were one of God's favorites because you had done everything right. On the other hand, if your life was not going well, if you were, say, paralyzed, it meant that you had sinned. And not just sinned in a little way. You had sinned in some tremendously big way. And so what I would just bet you on is that when that man is lowered through the roof and set before Jesus, everyone in that room, the very first thing they said was, "Boy, that man must have sinned big time. What law did he violate? What horrible thing did he do that got him in this spot?" I would also argue that the man was asking himself the same question. What did I do? What law did I violate? What sin did I commit that this happened to me? That's the scene where we find ourselves with this man in front of Jesus. And so what I think Jesus would say is, John, first things first. What needs to happen first is he needs to be forgiven. Not because sin brought him to this place. Jesus makes clear throughout his ministry that there is no connection. But before this man can accept what Jesus is about to do for him, before this man can be reconnected to God and reconnected to the people around him, he needs that word of forgiveness. And so when Jesus forgives him, suddenly this man believes that he can reconnect with God, that maybe he is worthy of being healed. That when he is healed and he goes back out into the community, people aren't saying, "Oh, wait, you know, God's going to get him again. Maybe Jesus healed him, but because he hasn't been forgiven, there is something in his life. It's like the sword of Damocles hanging over him, waiting to strike again." But no, he's been, by forgiveness, he is reconnected with God and with the community. And then Jesus moves to heal. He makes him whole. What God desires of all of us is to be whole, complete, connected with God, connected with neighbor, capable of loving God and loving neighbor, capable of enjoying life, finding joy and peace and hope in life. And the problem is that sin gets in the way. And you can define sin however you like it. Maybe it's breaking God's rules. Maybe it's missing the mark and wandering off the path God has set for us. Maybe it's holding on to anger and bitterness and hatred. However you want to define it, what sin does is it's like the plaque in the arteries of communication between ourselves and God, between ourselves and each other. It clogs up the flow of God's love back and forth between us. But the gift God gives is that we have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness and to receive forgiveness, which, by the way, is why we have a prayer of forgiveness every Sunday. Because it's the opportunity to have Christ sort of as the great spiritual healer open up those arteries again and allow us to reconnect with God, to set aside all of that junk that gets in the way. But there's a problem. There's a problem. And the problem is sometimes we don't believe it. Sometimes we don't believe that we're forgiven. Over the years, I have met so many people who believe that God can forgive everybody else, can forgive everybody else everything they've done, but they can't believe it for themselves. They hang on to guilt. That they hang on to something they have said or done or not done. They hang on to this guilt that somehow God can't forgive them. And what that does is it prevents them, it prevents us from being whole, from being intimately connected with God and with others. It gets in the way. So how do we deal with that? Well, what I want to do this morning, which I don't think I've ever done here before, is I want to offer you a spiritual practice. A spiritual practice that I hope will help you let go of the guilt and take hold of the forgiveness. So for any of you who are willing or desirous of doing so, I would encourage you to begin by closing your eyes. Sort of center yourself, feet on the floor. And as your eyes are closed, take your hands and cup them in front of you like you're waiting to receive something. And in those hands, I want you to place your guilt. The guilt you have held on to, the guilt you can't let go of. I want you to put it in your hands. And I want you to feel the weight of it. I want you to feel how heavy that guilt is, weighing you down, holding you back, dragging you, slowing you. Feel the weight. And then I want you to hear a still, small voice. I am Jesus Christ. And the weight is mine. I am Jesus Christ, and the guilt is mine. I am Jesus Christ, and the weight is mine. And now simply open your hands and let it fall. Let it fall to the earth, to the ground. It is gone. It is past. I am Jesus Christ. You are forgiven. the weight is mine. This, my friends, is the gift of Jesus Christ to us all. That it is Christ who takes that weight, who takes that guilt, and takes it out of our lives and sets us free. Jesus Christ makes us whole. And that is my challenge to you on this week. Is that each day when you feel that guilt returning, simply put it in your hands, hear the voice, let it go. For Christ has come to take it, to forgive us, to set us free, to make us whole. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for sending your Son into the world to forgive us, that we might be set free now and always, to be fully connected to you and to those around us. In Christ's name, amen.